Hello there and welcome once again to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. Today is Thursday, June the 4th. Today we're going to talk about a request made to God. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your ways, O Lord. How many times do you wonder what God's will is, what you should be doing with your life, how you should treat other people, how you can love God, love your neighbor, how you should respond to the different pieces of news that you hear every day taking place in the world? Teach me your ways, O God. Show me, Lord, what it is that I'm supposed to do. And I'll tell you, He will tell you. He will give you an idea. So let's do that today. Let's take a look at, I'm going to look at the Mass readings from today's daily Mass, which is the Thursday of the ninth week in Ordinary Time. I'm going to look at these readings because I think they'll give us some insight into something we should all be concerned with. Lord, what do you want me to do? Give me an idea, Lord. Show me your ways. And what does it require? Because this is what I have a problem with. What does it require in order to do that, to put that into practice? How is it? What do I need to do? Because I know a lot of times I'm not obeying God's will. It's unintentional, but sometimes it is intentional. Sometimes it's not. I shouldn't say that. But what do I have to do to really obey the will of God, even when I don't feel like it? Because honestly, sometimes I don't feel like it. So what's going on in me that makes me do that? Why do I sin? I know I'm asking a lot of questions. We're going to get to the answers, provided the Holy Spirit shows up, which I know He will. But why is it? Why do I do the wrong thing sometimes? It feels good at the moment, but why do I do the wrong thing? And then I regret it afterward. What can I do? How can I change? So we're going to try to squeeze all of that in some form or another into the program for the next 30 minutes. I want to thank you for hanging out with me. I want to thank you for your contributions. I got a couple of contributions over the past few days, and I'm grateful because without your support, without your financial support, I could not exist in full-time ministry. And this program will not exist without your support. So I'm going to put that pitch out there today, if you wouldn't mind. And I hate talking about money. It's not something I like doing, but the only way that I can continue to do this show, because this program does take a lot of effort, a lot of time, a lot of resources to put it together, and being in full-time ministry, supporting my family this way, I've got to make choices. I've got to do things that will in some way produce money. It's only logical. This is how I support my family. So if you're able to donate to my work at Following the Truth and help me to keep this program on the air, keep my ministry going forward, I would really appreciate it if you could do so. And you can do that by going to followingthetruth.com, click on donate, and then you can either become a monthly sponsor. And I'd really like to get a couple of extra monthly sponsors this week. So if you're in a position where you feel you can do that, it would really help me. Or you can make a one-time donation. But the monthly sponsorship is really something that is needed. So I can know, I can budget, and I can know what I'm dealing with each month. And you could do it for $10 a month. You could do it all the way up to $1,000, I think the website will let you. But whatever you could afford, it would really help me to know that I have that monthly income to count on. And you're not locked into anything. You could make you could become a monthly donor today. You'll pay one payment and then cancel in a couple days, and you'll never do another monthly one. You're not locked into anything. It's done securely through PayPal. So that's all I'm going to say about it for now. If you could do that and help support my ministry, I would be really grateful. Just go to followingthetruth.com, click on donate, and you will be all set. All right, I thank you in advance for considering that. Here we go. Time to pray, time to turn to the Lord in prayer before we start the show. I'm going to ask Him for help. I'm going to ask Him what the heck it is that I'm supposed to say today. I might have an idea, but I want the Holy Spirit to really guide me down the path that He wants me to go down. And we'll pray for some of our needs as well. So if you do that with me, and remember that we are in the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit right now. We're in good company. And I fully believe, and I hope you do too, and if you're not sure, let me just reassure you. I fully believe that the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, hears our petitions, hears our cries for help. And I hope you'll take my word, if you don't believe it yourself, maybe you're a little shaky, and we all get a little shaky about it at times, that it's true. And let's picture the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit standing in front of us now as we begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father God, we thank you first of all, for being here. You know, boy, we take so many things for granted in life, Father. Unfortunately, we take you for granted. We assume you'll be here when we need you. We assume that we'll have another day tomorrow. We assume that the sun will rise, that there's going to be no shortage of air to breathe, that our food supply won't dry up. We make these assumptions. But I know that's wrong, Father, because all of these things, the fact that our hearts are beating right now still, the fact that our brain is functioning so we're able to listen to this podcast, the fact that I can speak, I can see, I can use my fingers to do what I need to on my computer to make this show happen, all of these things are gifts from you, Father. So I'm going to thank you for these gifts right now. I pray, Father, for the wisdom needed to be able to appreciate your goodness, your providence, and never take anything that you give us for granted, including the gift of yourself. Father in heaven, you are omniscient. You know everything. You are omnipresent. You are everywhere. And you are all loving. That is incredible. You love us unconditionally. No matter what we do, nothing we can do will make you love us any less. You don't love us for what we do. You love us for who we are. Now, we know that you want us to be good, that you want us to avoid sin. Doesn't mean you won't love us if we fall. But Father, this day we pray for the grace to follow your will, even when it gets hard. Help us to do the right thing. Help us to not do the wrong thing. Help us to know when we are supposed to act, when we're supposed to remain silent and wait for you. Please guide us. Father, pour out your Spirit on us anew this day, June the 4th, 2020, a day that's never happened before in history. June the 4th, 2020 has never before happened. This is a brand new day. And this is the day you have made, Father. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That's what Scripture tells us. So we do that today. We rejoice in this day that you made. And we ask you to pour out your Spirit. And Spirit, we give you permission to come alive in us, to guide our thoughts, our words, our deeds, especially me on this program. Let me know what it is that I'm supposed to say. Open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus, Lord Jesus, as we follow you this day. We ask you to lead us. We're going to hear your words in the gospel in a few minutes. Touch our heart with these words, Lord. Speak to us. Direct these words to us. Help us to be able to understand. You're talking to us here. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And Father, we ask you to please eliminate the coronavirus, wipe it off the face of the map. Please bring about world peace right now. Please heal the United States of America. Heal the divisions that are taking place in so many ways in our country right now. Father God, we pray for the homeless, the homebound, those who are in prisons or hospitals. We pray for our church. We pray for our leaders, government leaders. May they know what to do, what decisions to make to spare lives, especially when it comes to the coronavirus. But also when it comes to passing laws involving abortion. Help all of our officials to become pro-life, to realize that life begins at conception and continues to natural death. Father, we pray that you touch the heart of anybody who does not realize that. We pray for all of the souls in purgatory right now, and we pray that they will get to heaven as soon as possible. Father, I pray that we can all change internally, be transformed by the power of your Holy Spirit so that we can become the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask for these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hey, thanks for praying with me. It really means a lot when you pray with me. I don't have a list, as you can tell, a list of specific intentions. I really kind of let the Spirit lead me. And, you know, don't get hung up if you forget some things when you pray. Because that's the way I am. I know what it's like. It's so frustrating. Some of us have that tendency to feel not right. Well, I didn't mention enough people, or I'm spending too much time on this person. I didn't mention the other person. And sometimes people like us have to chill and realize God can read our heart. He knows what's going on. He wants us to spend time with him more than making sure that we've got every intention checked off. He wants us to hang out with him, ask him for what we need. You know, if we just spend time on the Our Father, that's a really good prayer. Just do it slowly, mean the words. You know, especially when you say, thy will be done. So many times we don't mean that. How do you know? Well, do you complain about anything that happens in your life? You start the day, you say, thy will be done. And then when things go wrong and you complain, well, all of a sudden, you're complaining that God's will be done, right? And I catch myself with this all the time. So we got to be careful with that. But just don't get too crazy about prayer. Show up for prayer every day. Pray every day. I'm going to tell you that. Pray whether you feel like it or not. But sometimes you switch up the prayers. You should switch them up if you're really flat or if you're not feeling anything. And we talked the other day about it's okay to not feel things in prayer. But if you feel that you're just forcing yourself to say some words, it might be time to change your form of prayer. I do it all the time. I flip-flop between a number of different methods, number of different books that I use. I do some spiritual reading. I mix that in. I do scripture in the morning. I have a variety of different sources that I use to kind of get me jump-started when I pray. And I'm constantly changing things up. But the thing you should never change is showing up for prayer every day. Hang out with the Lord every day. You got to do that. Okay? All right. You are listening to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimek. And today we're just going to go through the Mass readings, the daily Mass readings. Because when I was at Mass today, these readings sort of hit me. I thought they were good ones. I think there's a message here for all of us. How do I know what God wants me to do? Teach me your ways, Lord. You know, that would be really unfair if we posed that question to God and he didn't answer. Look, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. Teach me your ways. Now, we do have the example of Jesus. Jesus spent 3 years on this earth, and there's a lot written about him in the Gospels that tell us what our Father in heaven expects us, how he expects us to live. Because Jesus said, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. And Jesus was sent from the Father to reveal the Father to us, in addition to suffering on the cross, being dying and rising from the dead to open the gates of heaven. That was the mission of Jesus. So we can get a good idea by observing him and listening to what he has to say. So why don't we do this? We're going to start with the gospel. I always like to start with the gospel. If you listen to my weekly show, you'll know that I always, when I look at the Mass readings, I always begin with the gospel because everything is anchored in the gospel. The gospel is the most important reading of in the Bible. The Gospels, the church teaches that the Gospels have a prominent place among readings. All of the Bible is the inspired Word of God, but the Gospels are at a different level. The same thing applies to the Mass. At daily Mass, at Sunday Mass, the Gospel is first and foremost. The Gospel is the most important thing. So let's look at the Gospel today. It's from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. Let me read it and then we'll chat. One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, which is the first of all the commandments? You know what I'm going to do? We're going to chat as I like how I change in midstream, but I feel this is going to work better. We'll read and then we'll talk about it. The scribe came to Jesus and asked, which is the first of all the commandments? Good question, right? Because if you're going to do something, if you want to put your focus on something today and in serving God, it makes sense that you should want to do what's most important to him, right? Makes sense, doesn't it? So that's a very valid question. Whether it's a legitimate, honest question, at this point, we don't know. We're not sure here. He could be saying this to test Jesus. And elsewhere, we do see that happening in the gospel. So, but taken at face value, this is a very legitimate question. Which is the first of all the commandments? And Jesus replied, "The first is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." Sounds good, right? And then Jesus took it a step further and he said, "The second is this." The scribe only asked about the greatest, the first of all the commandments. Jesus gives him the first and the second, because he thinks that we need to know this. These two tie in together. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Now, very simply, love of God, love of neighbor. Most of us have a degree of difficulty with one or both of those. Some of us find it easy to love God, but we don't find it easy to love our neighbor. Some people find it easy to love their neighbor, but they have trouble really loving God, really focusing on God. We all know people who don't go to church, but yet they're the nicest people. They're so kind. They're always there to help others, but they don't have a real personal relationship with God. So love God, love your neighbor, the first and the second, the two greatest commandments. And Jesus specifically from the Mosaic Law says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. In other words, love him with all you got. Give it all you got when it comes to loving God. And then love your neighbor as yourself. I should care about the needs of my neighbor, because that's what love is. Love is willing the good of another, essentially. And in the case of what Jesus is saying here, love your neighbor as yourself. And you know, we care about ourselves, we care about our well-being, we care about our comfort. We should care about our neighbors in the same way. And a lot of times we fall short of that. So Jesus is really clear. You know, we could say, what am I supposed to do, Lord? What do you want me to do? I want to be a good person. Well, here it is. The two greatest commandments, love God, love your neighbor. Now, the scribe comes back at Jesus. Well said, teacher. You are right in saying he is one, and there is no other than he. I like this. Validating the words of Jesus. Yes, Jesus, well said. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. A lot of times, what do? We want to worship or love God in the way that comforts us or that makes us feel good. Well, you know what, Lord? I don't really want to help this person today, but I want to say prayers. Sometimes we do have to turn down people if they need us to do something. There are times, and you got to pray about that. And every situation is different. But there are times too when you got to put the prayer book down. You got to stop worshiping God the way you want to worship and respond to the circumstances. I struggle with that one. That is not an easy one for me. And when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to ask him any more questions. So I think that, you know, what did Jesus just say to us right now? He said, if the two greatest commandments are to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. To love God to the best of your ability and to love your neighbor as yourself. And when you love your neighbor, as Jesus said elsewhere, you are loving God. Whatever you do for the least of your brothers and sisters, you do for me, Jesus said. Jesus is God, so therefore, right, you see that? What we want to be careful about here is looking at this gospel and saying, see, this is what's wrong with the world. Those knuckleheads in the world, those rioters, those liberals, those conservatives, those, you know how it goes? Those people don't love God and love their neighbor. That's what's wrong with the world. No, what's wrong with the world is you don't love God and love your neighbor. And when I say you, please don't get mad. I'm saying me too. I'm pointing to myself. Yes, it's true that there's a lot of bad things happening in the world. There's a lot of people doing bad things in the world. Agreed. But every one of these Gospels, you've heard me say this before, the Lord is speaking to us too. If we listen or read a gospel passage, and we conclude that there is no message for us, then we're misreading it. I don't always make blanket statements, but I think that's a blanket statement. The Lord's not going to waste words. If Scripture is the dynamic and inspired Word of God, then every time we open the Bible, we can read the same passage over and over. Every time, there will be a message for us, for you and for me. And sometimes I will look at, you know, this is why I like going through the daily Mass readings, because I don't choose them. The church chooses them. Because if I choose them, I'm going to choose a certain type of reading. Right? We all do that. We have our favorites. And there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes if we want to have a relationship, a dynamic relationship with God, He speaks through the Scriptures, and we have to let Him say what He wants to say, even if it's not what we want to hear. You see that? So there are going to be Gospels like this one today. I wasn't especially looking for this one, but this is what Jesus, in His words, spoke to me in the Gospel. So somehow I've got to come up with some sort of a takeaway. And the takeaway is, two greatest commandments, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Gary, how are you falling short? And that's where the Holy Spirit can help us. And I am falling short. And then what do I plan to do about it? Let's look at the first reading now. A couple things in here. This is from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy, chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. Beloved, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. Such is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of chains like a criminal. See, Paul is willing to do whatever it takes to share the gospel. Boy, a lot of times I really fall short. When it gets too tough, I have a hard time, but Paul's willing to go forward. He doesn't care if he's in prison. He's going to preach the good news. Therefore, I bear with everything for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Jesus Christ Jesus, together with eternal glory. He's putting the needs of others before himself. You see what he's doing? Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. See, Paul gets this. You can imprison me if you want, but out of love for my neighbor, I'm going to spread the good news, even if it costs me. This is why we can look at Paul, we can imitate him, we can pray for the grace to be like him, and we can ask Paul to pray for us too. This saying is trustworthy. If we have died with him, we shall also live with him. If we persevere, we shall also reign with him. The church teaches that when we are baptized into the church, when we're baptized, we die with Christ, and one day we will be raised with him again and reign with him in heaven. That's what happens. But if we deny him, he will deny us. But this is, you see, it's not automatic. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. But if I ignore him, if I reject him in this life, I can mess up getting into heaven. That's what the church teaches. It's not a given. But if I follow the Lord, if I love God and love my neighbor as myself, I'm going to get right to heaven. It's going to happen. Remind people of these things, Paul says, and charge them before God to stop disputing about words. This serves no useful purpose, since it harms those who listen. Boy, there's a lot of that going on, a lot of disputing about words. Be eager to present yourself as acceptable to God, a workman who causes no disgrace, imparting the word of truth without deviation. In other words, live and speak God's word, God's truth, without deviation. The truth. Challenging sometimes, but that's, again, what we're called to do. The responsorial psalm is what we based this whole thing on today. It's from Psalm 25. Teach me your ways, O Lord. And again, that's the example we saw in the gospel. Teach me, Jesus, what are the two greatest commandments? Your ways, O Lord, make known to me. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior. I like that reference to teach me your paths. When we follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit, we are able to walk the road that Jesus walked, updated 2,000 years in the year 2020. You know, this is not just a matter of taking notes on exactly what Jesus did and doing exactly that. No, it's responding to our situations, the people in our lives, with the response of Jesus. What would Jesus do? You know, that old famous saying that was around a few years ago. Good and upright is the Lord, thus he shows sinners the way. He guides the humble to justice. He teaches the humble his way. In order to follow God, to love God and to love your neighbor, you need to be humble. And that's where we get into trouble. Because sometimes it's not easy to love our neighbor. And we think, like, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to love this person. I'm not going to pray for this person because this person's a jerk. That's where humility comes in. But Jesus lowered himself. He was so humble, he became man, even though he didn't have to, and suffered indignity after indignity and died on the cross because he was humble and he was concerned about doing his Father's will. That's what he was all about. All the paths of the Lord are kindness and constancy toward those who keep his covenant and his decrees. The friendship of the Lord is with those who fear him and his covenant for their instruction. Love God, love your neighbor. That's the answer to the question. Teach me your ways, Lord. Love God with all you got. And love your neighbor as yourself. How can you do that today? That's a question for each of us to answer. So I pray that you're going to be able to do that today. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Give him permission to work in your life. And tell the Spirit to send people your way who will allow you to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. All right? I am just about out of time. I look forward to being back with you here tomorrow on Following the Truth. If you have any questions, you can always shoot me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com. Remember to sign up for my daily email devotional, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. All you need to do is go to followingthetruth.com, supply your email address, that's it, and you're all set. You can unsubscribe at any time. It costs you nothing. You get it in your inbox every day, and I believe it will help you. I really do. Hey, I want to thank you. You're amazing. I'm so blessed to be able to spend some time with you. I'll be praying for you. Please pray for me as well, and I look forward, God willing, to being back with you here tomorrow on Following the Truth. See you.